Good morning.
Good morning.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good. Amen, amen. Do you believe in Jesus today?
Amen.
Do you love Jesus today?
Amen.
Who do you say that Jesus is for you today?
Lord and Savior.
Lord and Savior. That's what we're going to be looking at today. I want to ask you to turn with me to Mark this morning, Mark chapter 8, where we've been looking at questions that have been asked, the Lord asking His creation these questions in the Old Testament, and now we're moving into the New Testament to look at questions that the Lord our Savior is still asking of His creation. I'm going to ask that you stand with me this morning in honor of God's Word, beginning in verse number 27, Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse number 27. Now Jesus and His disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road He asked His disciples, saying to them, "Who do men say that I am?" And so they answered, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Father, I thank You so much for this day, for Your blessings in it. Lord, Your grace and Your mercy upon us, how wonderful they are. Lord, be with us in this time and strengthen us in Your Word. Strengthen us through Your Spirit to be Your witness and to be a testimony unto Your Lordship and unto Your salvation. Lord, help us, we pray. We give You all the glory in things said and done, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. You know, we've asked the questions. We started in the Old Testament when the Lord walked in the garden and He said to Adam, "Where are you?" And then He turned to Eve and asked a question of Eve. He said, "What have you done?" He later would speak to Cain. You know, there was a horrible, terrible situation in life that we see so often in our day today, a brother killing another. And the Lord said to Cain, "What have you done? What have you done?" And there are a lot of questions that we can see throughout the Scripture, but moving forward now to our Lord not walking in the garden as He created it, but in the garden as we made it through sin, and walking in His ministry among people, one city to another, one town to another, and He asked His disciples along the way, "Who do men say that I am?" You know, and it's a really important question, isn't it? That's the question we have to ask ourselves even today. Who is Jesus? Who is He to me? Why should I care? There are so many questions that we can ask, but the one that we're going to focus on today is the one that He asked of us. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? I did a little Google search. How many of you are friends with Google? A few of us. Some of us stay away as much as we can from Google, right? But Google can be our friend, used properly. You can learn a lot using the internet, the computer. And I was curious, so I asked this question, what do Americans think of Jesus? And you get any number of different answers relating to faith-based beliefs and just general population and what it believes. And what I want to share with you is the thing that strikes me is this. Most of Americans believe that Jesus is a real person. They really do think that Jesus is a real person. But they do not believe He is God in the flesh. They don't even believe He is the Son of God. They think He might have been a great spiritual leader, and they put Him on par with Buddha and others. Do I need to tell you how far we have fallen in our culture when the multitude of our people think that Jesus is on par with Buddha? A good spiritual, great spiritual leader, a good person, but he sins in life. Most of those same people, they have a commitment to Jesus, a commitment of faith in Jesus, because they believe He is the way to heaven over these other great spiritual leaders that they mention. They think that Jesus is the way to heaven. But they also think that obeying the Ten Commandments is their way to heaven. And I want to tell you the truth. The Ten Commandments is not our stairway to heaven. The essence of the Ten Commandments only shows us how great our failure to honor God or our neighbor or even our family in life is. And failure in any one of the commandments is failure in all. The Ten Commandments will not get us into heaven. Being a good person will not get us into heaven. And that's what people are holding on to. They concentrate on being a good person. Well, I obey the Ten Commandments. I'm good to my friends. And God is a God of love. But He's so much a God of love that He's not going to punish anyone. This is what people are holding to. So they can justify their lives living the way they want to live. And Jesus is Lord and Savior. He's Lord first, and then He is Savior. And I hope we understand what the essence of that statement means. Let me just put it like this. To those who call on Jesus as Lord and have bowed the knee, they have knelt before the foot of the cross, and they have pleaded for forgiveness of sins and have found redemption in Jesus Christ, they have proven to the world that they think Jesus is Lord. They have bowed, they have confessed, they have admitted they are not worthy, and yet have found the compassion that God so freely gives to His Son. And they have proven to the world that Jesus is Lord, because they don't just kneel at the cross, but they kneel every day in their life. And though they may fail in life along their journey, by the way you will, they still turn to Christ to find forgiveness and strength to get up. Let me tell you, just as a man helped Jesus Christ when he fell under the weight of the cross, the cross that Jesus calls us to carry will become weighty, and we will fall under the weight of that cross, but we're not looking for another man to help us pick it up and continue on. Jesus Himself, through His power of His Holy Spirit, will help us and strengthen us as we lift ourselves up in His power and continue to walk before the world, proving that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Lord is His ruling power over all of creation, and Savior is His compassionate power upon all who will believe and repent and confess. He is Lord and He is Savior. He's Lord over all, but He's Savior to the few. Being a good person is not going to get you there. Following the Ten Commandments is not going to get you there. Thinking God is just a God of love and no one's going to suffer the wrath that has been promised through His words, the same word that tells us He is a God of love, they ignore and say, well, He's not going to punish anybody. God made me this way. He made us all sinners, by the way. I don't care what your sin is. He made all of us sinners. When He allowed us to live, He allowed us to be born as sinners. And we continue that tradition. That's a family tradition, isn't it? How many of you have a family tradition? I have a family. I'm a sinner. Family tradition. But I have a God who is greater than family tradition. And He saves. To the uttermost, He saves. Who do men say that I am? He asked His disciples when He was walking among them, who do men say that I am? And they answered and they said, John the Baptist. Well, of course Jesus is not John the Baptist. John the Baptist spoke of Jesus. He said, there stands one among you whom you do not know. I'm not even fit to tie his sandals. And the greatest sermon that was ever preached for people to hear, John the Baptist, he was the one that gave it. Very short. Very concise and pointing to the truth of what we all need to know. And he saw Jesus coming and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The greatest sermon ever preached. John the Baptist gave it. And how many heard and believed and began to find that salvation that was building in Christ until it was fulfilled through the resurrection? How many of us will hear that Jesus is the Lamb of God who saves the world from his sins and are born again through the redemption that we find in him? He wasn't John the Baptist. He didn't baptize with water. He baptizes with Spirit and life. He's not Elijah. He's not one of the prophets. He's not Elijah who raised the widow's son. You remember Elijah? He traveled around and he got into a situation where he was brought into the home of a widow, and she was very poor, had very little, and her son died. And Elijah pleaded with God and took him up into his room and brought the child back to life through the power of God. But Jesus is not Elijah. He didn't cause fire to come down and consume the false gods and their altars and the soldiers that came after him time and time again. He's not Elijah who ascended into heaven on a chariot of fire. He is Jesus, Lord and Savior, who gives life to all who are dead, who gives sight to the blind man who was born that way, taking the dust of the ground and making eyes for the man to see. He doesn't cause fire to come down and consume us, but He does cause the fire of His truth to come down and change us until we are like Him, until we are purged, until we are cleansed. The fire of His Spirit and of His Word is what keeps us in the hope that we have. If you don't feel the burning of the Holy Spirit in your heart, the truth of who He is, the conviction of sin, you have not found redemption. You found an emotional moment at some point in life, but you have not found redemption in Jesus Christ. And I am here to tell you that this Lamb who saves. But even the demons believe and tremble. They know who He is. They will tell you who He is. And then in the next breath, they'll say, but don't worry about it. That's a long way off. You've got plenty of time. Do whatever you want. Be who you want to be. You know, he's getting old. He'll probably forget. Isn't that what we think about age? As we get older, we tend to forget a lot, right? How many people you think have that idea of God? He doesn't remember anything. He never forgets. And He always sees. And every word and every deed that has not been forgiven, we would give account for. That's what His Word says. Do you believe His Word? Do you believe who He is? Who do men say that I am? It's written in the book Mere Christianity. If you ever have a chance to read that, read it. He says in there that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, or he's a lunatic on the level of a man who believes he's a poached egg. Because he either is who he says he is, or he's a liar. And that's the greatest deception of all. That he would lie and lead so many to destruction. Who do men say that I am? One of the prophets? He wasn't Moses, was he? He was the essence of what was in the burning bush that directed Moses. He's not Joshua. He doesn't call the sun to stand still. He calls the sun to be where it is. And to shine 24/7. He's not Samuel or Isaiah or Daniel. He's none of these that speak of things to come. He is the one who was promised to come. He's not John the Baptist or Elijah or just one of the prophets. Who do you say that I am? That was the question. Hear it again. He asked his disciples, saying to them, "Who do men say that I am?" And so they answered, "John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And others, one of the prophets." And it doesn't matter what everyone else is saying to you about who Jesus is. If you are standing in the presence of the Holy God, the Mighty God, the Savior God, Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, let Him ask you who you think He is and answer based on your relationship with Him. Who do you say that I am? You see, He changed the question. He began by saying, "Who do men say that I am?" And they had all of these explanations. And when you search the world for all the definitions on who Jesus is, you can find a lot of things that just will blow your mind. Make you stand back and go, "What?" Scratch your head. You ever scratch your head? I scratch my head a lot. Wondering how I just did what I did. What did I come into this room for? I can't remember what I left the other room to come in here for. But I don't ever forget who God is to me. I don't want you to ever forget who God is to you. And so it was good. He had this conversation with his disciples, and he heard all of these things that people were saying about him. But he wants to know what those closest to him say about him. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter was quick. He gave us the answer that we know. He said, "You are the Christ. You are the Christ. You are the bread of life. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the Redeemer. You are the Mediator. You are the Lamb of God. You are the great I Am. You are. You are." You are my Savior. You are my Lord. But you're also my friend. Jesus would later say to his disciples, "No longer do I call you servants. I call you my friend." We talked about this in our Bible study. We talked about what it means to be the friend of Jesus and the difference between the attitude that a master has over a servant and a master has with a friend. And if you look into Luke, you find the parable of the stewards, and Jesus is talking about how one says, "Increase our faith." And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, if a master has a servant and he's out in the field working and he comes into the house, the master doesn't say to the servant, have a seat, let me make you something to eat. Let me make sure that your stomach is full and you are satisfied and then we can talk about me. No, he says. He looks to the servant and he says, you fix my plate. You do what you're supposed to do as my servant. And when you are finished, you say to yourself, I am unprofitable in my ways. I'm not profitable in who I am, but I must be who I am. And it's a servant. And I must serve my master. And I must do it fully and to his satisfaction. But see, Jesus is not saying we're a servant like that anymore to him. He said, no longer do I call you servants. I call you friends. And here's the difference. The friend can come in and sit down at the table with him and eat at the same time, while the servant cannot. And so I ask you today, who is Jesus to you? Who do you say that he is? Is he Lord? Is he Savior? Is he friend? Do you recognize his station in life? He is the reason for life. He's the reason that we can see greater life. We can have hope and faith in things not yet seen and know that it's true. That is faith because of what the Holy Spirit puts into our hearts. I can't tell you what heaven looks like. I can tell you it's real. I can't tell you what hell looks like. I can tell you it's real. I can give you definitions and broadly define what each of those might look like to me, but only when we get into those eternal days will we ever know what heaven looks like for those who are invited and have accepted. And only those who have rejected will be able to stand out and cry over the pain and misery of what hell truly is. It's not going to be a big party. I have so many friends I have heard say that over time. Somebody passed away. Where do you think their friend is? He went to hell. I know him. But they're having a big old party down there. And he's crying. And he's weeping and he's pleading for forgiveness that cannot be granted because he walked away from truth while he had the chance. Amen. And this is what we plead for. We plead with each other. We plead with all of the world to come to know Jesus for who he is and to answer this question. Who do you say that he is? He is Lord and he is Savior. And understand what that means. That the prophecies that were given included these words, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And this is who we can stand before the world and say to them, this is who Jesus is to me. This is who he is to you if you will just find in your heart the strength to forgive and to be forgiven, to seek his love and his mercy upon you, and to be born again. Jesus is greater than the prophets. The few that brought people back to life, Jesus isn't just bringing anyone back to life. He is changing lives. He is making new lives out of old lives. The old man's going to kick to the bitter end, though, I can tell you. But Jesus is still on the throne. And Jesus is still saving. And Jesus is still transforming us. And Jesus is still sanctifying us as we walk from this day into the next until we stand into eternity with Him. And then we see Him like He sees us and the glory of the new body that He gives. And what a wonderful day that will be. Where I can fall on my knees and thank Him for caring about me when I know so much about me. I don't have to worry about you. You have to worry about you. You have to deal with you, your relationship. I can only tell you, you need it with Christ. And not the world. I can only tell you that all that I have lived through and all that I have done and all that has been right or wrong, it does not matter. It's all pale in comparison when I think of the glory of who Jesus is and what He's doing for me despite the failure I have in life. And one of the greatest things that I have experienced in life is having someone who would stand boldly and share the testimony of who Jesus Christ is. Not just that He's a God of love and everything's going to be okay. That's not who Jesus is. Not for everyone. But only for those who can repent and find salvation. And to hide the word repentance from the souls that need to hear it most is to condemn them to die in their sins. And how gracious is that of us to walk in silence when so many need to hear. Even if all they hear is this, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." And Jesus then said, "They should tell no one about who He was." Because His mission wasn't finished. It wasn't time for the world to hear. He was letting the world see who He was through all of His deeds, through all of His words, through all of the wonders and the signs and the miracles. And even with all of that, people refuse to grab hold of who He was. But He came out of the tomb and He showed the world His power over life and over death, and so therefore His power over new life is true as well. And He's not telling us to be quiet and not to tell anyone. He is saying we do not have a secret that needs to be hidden, but a story that needs to be heralded for the world to see and to hear in our words and in our deeds, in our life completely. Jesus Christ lives. Amen. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. And I live within His. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes and can find their peace with the Father through the Son. Do you know how wonderful this time of grace is that we live in? How wonderful it is to have such an opportunity not to be under the weight of the law as they were in the Old Testament. The Old Testament was just a burden on everyone. It kept you under the thumb. It kept you suppressed. It kept you beat down. And there was always that priest standing in the background telling you what you had done wrong and you needed to do more. And, well, you aren't even worthy to come into the temple because of your infirmity, whatever it might be. And Jesus says to us today, that veil is torn. And the doors to that temple are shut. All of you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Believe in me. You believe in the Father? Believe also in me. These things are true, or I would not have told you. I would not have told you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus to me? He's Lord and He's Savior. The most compassionate soul, the most compassionate person I have ever known is Jesus. And that's just in the presence of His Spirit. How wonderful will it be when I stand before Him? How wonderful will it be when you stand before Him? If you know Him as Lord and Savior. And so that's my question for you today. Who is Jesus to you? Do you know Him as Lord and as Savior? Have you found peace and newness of life in Jesus? We have this time, and I'm pleading with you. Come. Come and find that which Jesus so freely wants you to have. Love, peace, hope in this world because of the things you'll have in the next through Him and through Him alone, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy upon us. Again, Lord, we can't go without saying that. It's always and ever present. And Lord, we thank You for so great a love that You have bestowed upon us, that You walk with us, Lord, that You talk with us. And Lord, I pray and ask for Your help and for Your strength to face every challenge that the world brings before us. And where there is failure, for strength to turn to You and find forgiveness and healing again. Father, thank You for loving us. If there is one here who does not know You, I pray today, Father, they will know You and the hope that You give, that they should be born again through the repentance of sin and faith found in You. We give this to You and to Your glory in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?